Well, I can't picture life without the Lord either. Can you? Sometimes I wonder how do people live without Jesus? And then to think, what if the Lord wasn't even there and we were just left to our own? Because the Scripture says that He reigns on the just and the unjust. He does good things for all of us. But if He was gone, we would be in trouble, wouldn't we?
Had a little thought tonight. Two words are in the title.
I was thinking maybe tonight I feel inspired to add just a little bit to the message this morning about God will provide for us and a little bit of our responsibility that goes along with that. We touched on giving the Lord first was a key concept as part of God will provide for us, but I'd also like to think for just a few minutes tonight also about what it means to let go. I'd like to re-relate on a little story that I think I've told here before. When I was in school, I had a friend. It was early in our friendship. We met each other in class, and I had moved away from home and was in the dorms, and things were new, and it seemed like a big place and a lot of unfamiliar faces. And I got to know this guy, was in one of my classes. He was a very intelligent individual, and he spoke very directly. He didn't mince a lot of words. You know, some people take a long time to get out what they're trying to say, and others know how to shuck right down to the cob. Well, that's how he was. He could get it out pretty quick. And I was with him one night, and it was in the evening time, and we were going back to our dorms. We didn't live in the same dorm. And all of a sudden, he asked me, he said, "Do you talk to God?" And I said, "Yes, I endeavor to talk to God, try to do that every day." And, but he had more questions than just, "Do you talk to God?" He had something even more pertinent in his own mind, and he said, "Well, does he talk to you?" And I said, "Well, yes, the Lord talks to me." He said, "Well, how does God talk to you?" And he's a very analytical minded person. "How does God talk to you?" So I tried to explain to him the best that I knew how, of how God spoke to my heart. And we got done, and he looked at me and he said, "I'm going to go talk to God tonight." Now, he was not a religious person. He says, "I'm going to talk to God tonight." And so I was glad to hear that, and in hopes that it would go well. Well, I saw him the next day, and he said, "Rod, I talked to God, but God didn't talk back to me." And I felt bad. You feel like, it was almost like I felt like I let God down and him down too. Because I felt the responsibility to help show him the way. And so he went and tried to talk to God, but God didn't talk to him. And I felt bad, and I also wondered, why wouldn't God talk to him? If somebody's reaching out to God, why would God not talk to somebody who was doing what they knew to reach out to Him? That's why God came, wasn't it? To reach people? So I felt bad about the whole thing. Well, my friend Eric, he tried to talk to God again. And he got silence. He didn't get anywhere. He felt like it was a one-sided conversation. Well, we went to school together for a while, and he never really said anything more about that. And after the school year ended, I left and I went to a different school, and we parted ways. And I hadn't talked to him for a long time. We just, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't text and stay in contact back then. But we did have landlines. And one night, and I was already in bed. It was late at night. And I had a phone, a landline, by my bed in my dorm, and my phone rang. It was about 11 o'clock at night. And the only person I really talked to much on the phone was Kathy. We weren't married yet. It's probably the reason why my phone was where it was. But we didn't usually talk that late at 11 o'clock because it would have been 1 o'clock her time. And I thought, well, who's calling at 1 o'clock? So I answered the phone, no caller ID, and I said, hello. And he said, Rod, this is Eric. I got saved. And you could just hear it in his voice. It wasn't, I gave my heart to God, I hope everything's okay. And sometimes people do take it more on faith than others. But it struck me because he was not an emotional person, and yet I could hear emotion. Rod, I got saved. And I said, Eric, that's wonderful. I didn't even really know that he knew the concept of salvation. But he got a hold of something, and he said, I got saved. And I said, well, that's great, Eric. And he said, Rod, do you remember that time where I asked you if you talked to God and if he talked to you? And I said, yeah, I remember that. And he said, you remember I told you that he didn't talk to me? And I said, yeah, I remember that. And he said the reason that God did not talk to me is because I was proud. I was arrogant. He was not open to change his way. He wanted to come talk to God on his terms. He wanted to approach God with everything that he was, without acknowledging his great need. He wasn't one just to acknowledge his need. He was one that had the answers. And he said, because of that, God didn't talk to me. But he got to the place where he was willing to let go of himself. He got to the place where he was willing to humble himself down and recognize that he needed to be open to change as God dealt with his heart, that he needed something beyond himself. And when he did that, God met him in a beautiful way. And he ended up coming and staying the night at my mom and dad's house with me one night on a Saturday night, and went to church with me Sunday morning. And we had a small congregation. Brother Clifford Wilson was our pastor at the time. And you know how you are when you're a teenager. Well, I probably was 20 by that time. But you know how you are when you're young. Your friend comes to church, you want it to go good. You don't want him to come and go away and say, this is where you go to church. This is what you have to offer. And I just remember wanting it so much. I wanted it to go well. But we just had a little congregation, it's elderly people and not a lot of young people. But you know what? I just remember, from the very start of the service, God's presence just came down. in the song service, in the prayer service, in the message that was given, God's Spirit was there, and my friend was there to hear all of that. And I remember, I believe Brother Clifford, one of his favorite songs, if not his favorite song, was, "O Thou in Whose Presence My Soul Takes Delight." And he called that song, "O Thou in Whose Presence." And we sang that song, and it just felt like the presence of God came down in that place. And I was so happy to know that the Lord was faithful to meet us as a people that didn't have anything to offer except all of our hearts. And when we did that, the Lord's Spirit was willing to come meet with us. And so I have a question this morning, or this evening, a challenge. What is it that you're seeking in life? What is it that you're after? What are you delighting in? We read the verse this morning that the psalmist said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." But what are we delighting ourselves in? Are we mainly about me? Are we mainly about me, myself, and I? Mostly about what I want in life? Are we about trying to protect that we don't want to change? You know, we have a lot of things about ourselves that we would rather just not be disturbed. We'd rather be able to go through life and be a Christian and be able to be a disciple of God without having to mess with this thing over here. What do we delight in? Do we want our own way? Are we about ourselves, or are we about choosing most of all, more than anything, the presence of God in our lives? Folks, even as believers, even as Christians, the Lord wants us to let go. He wants us to be willing to die out to ourselves and let go of those things that we hang on to so hard. I think sometimes it almost seems like sometimes we have our own sort of requirements, untouchables in our lives. Well, my life is going to look like this. I'm going to approach life, and this is who I am. And yes, I want to be a Christian, but we hold these things over here and guard them closely. Now, I doubt any of us tonight go to God and say, "Lord, I want to be a Christian, but I just want to let you know that I've got some requirements associated with that. I'll be a disciple, but I'm not going to be a disciple if you require these other things. I'll live for you, but this is what's important for me. This is gonna have to remain intact, Lord. I just want you to know." I don't think we talk to the Lord that way. But is it possible that the end result is similar, where we hang on to things that keep us from making contact with God? We don't let go completely so that God can have the freedom to work with us. I remember Brother Austis Wilson, he was my pastor growing up. And I remember him telling the story, you probably have heard the story too, about the Indian that lived out on the plains, and And he had heard the concept of giving all to the Lord because he wanted, or the concept of giving to God and filling His presence. And he was taught that message. And so he looked around at his stuff and there wasn't really anything he wanted to give up. But finally he was willing and he took the blanket off of his horse and he put the blanket on the altar and give that to God. But he didn't feel the presence of the Lord. And so finally he threw his spurs in, put those up on the altar with the blanket. And he still didn't feel the presence of the Lord. And so with a heavy heart, he took his whole saddle and put the saddle on the altar. Got rid of his blanket, his spurs, his saddle. And pretty soon, just everything started ended up on the altar. Still no presence of the Lord. And here he come walking through leading his horse. And he tied his horse to the altar. Gave his horse to God. Still nothing from God. And finally, he came in and he got up on the altar. And he said, "All for God, nothing for me." And that's when he found Jesus. But you know, that's a difficult place to get to. Because we feel like we're giving up these things that are so dear to us. And folks, most of the time these aren't material possessions. Sometimes they are. We focus a lot on, you know, material possessions. But sometimes it's not material possessions. It's what the course of our life looks like. It's the place that we fill. It's our attitudes. It's setting down our own way of thinking that we can be so tied to, even with spiritual things. You know, folks, it doesn't have to be our group that tells you this. The world will tell you this. If you want to get into a battle of wills and get somebody exercised, cross their religion. and sometimes that can be a good thing, but we also have to watch out because we can start to hold on blindly to something that the Lord's wanting us to come before Him with an open heart and with an open mind. And be willing to lay down everything that He might be able to fill us up. I feel like sometimes we come to the Lord with a backpack on our back that we haul around with us through life with all of those things that we don't want to set aside. You remember in Pilgrim's Progress when Christian, he had to go through the wicket gate. And before he got on the highway to holiness, he had to, you know, there had to be some things he had to let go of. And so he got through there and he's walking down and all of a sudden there's a wall on either side. Here comes this backpack comes flying over the wall and drops into his path and he's like, where did that come from? And all of a sudden he saw a leg kind of flop over the top of that wall and pretty soon somebody jumped down in the pathway and picked his pack back up and Christian was like, "Where are you going?" He says, "Well, I'm headed to heaven. Where are you going?" Christian said, "Well, that's where I'm going, but I thought you were supposed to enter in through the door back there." He says, "Well, they were all going to the same place, but he wanted to do it his way. He didn't want to come through the door. He wanted to come with his pack." Do we ever do that? I think sometimes as humans we can do that and reason it away and justify it and make it look like something that maybe it's not. And yet what we're really doing, we're trying to approach the Lord like my friend did the first time, and we want to be able to ring the bell and have the Lord be there and respond on our terms. But for God to work in our lives, we're going to have to be willing to let go. People say, well, let go of what? What are you talking about? Be more specific. Let go of what? Help me understand what I'm supposed to let go of so that I can go home and, practically speaking, know what I'm supposed to let go of. Well, I can't give you, and I'm not going to try to give you a list tonight or tomorrow night or next Sunday or any Sunday after that. I'm not going to try to itemize a list for you and say, if you're going to be saved, you need to follow items 1 through 1050. And if you do those things, then you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. And you need to let go of these items over here. You must let go of these items or you can't be saved. That's kind of God's job to do that. Not mine. My job, though, is to preach the word of the Lord as He has already outlined. And so you say, well, then let go of what? Let go of your will. Because if you're willing to let go of your will, then the Lord can help you understand what it is that He wants for you in life. May God help us know how to come before His presence with humility and submission. Lord, help us to know how to hold on to our beliefs in a steadfast, strong manner where we set our face like a flint and yet know how to come before Your presence with an open heart and mind that You're able to impart unto me that which I need. The psalmist said in the 27th chapter, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. I will pursue it. I will look for it. I will delight myself in best understanding how this can come to pass. And what was it? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That I may experience the presence of the Almighty God in my life all the days of my life. That I may behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. That was the psalmist's desire. May God help that be our desire tonight. May God help us tonight to apply ourselves to learning how to come before the presence of the Lord in a way that He would be pleased to remain in our presence as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And let's be challenged to learn how and be willing to let go of the things that may be hindering us from reaching God. Because if we don't, folks, we will eventually drown. We will sink under the weight of our own will. It will take us down. I suspect when Peter began to sink in the water that day, that by the time he lifted up his hands, he didn't have anything in his hands. I don't know if he went out into the water with anything in his hands or not, but I suspect that if he did, he didn't have it in his hands when he started to sink. but rather he lifted up both hands to the Father, crying out for the help of Jesus Christ. And what did he find? He found a loving Father that was reaching back to him, willing to pick him up, willing to reestablish his goings, willing to turn fear back into delight and thanksgiving that the Lord was there to help him stand on solid ground. I want to stand on solid ground tonight. I want the Lord to be able to reach me. He's reaching out to me. Am I reaching out to Him with empty hands and a heart that's open and willing to receive what He has for me? Tonight, let's be willing to let go. And if we will be willing to let go of our will and pursue the way of the Lord, recognizing that God is not trying to leave us alone and empty and without. That's the enemy that says that. Well, yeah, give up your will, lay down everything on the altar, and you just be left with nothing. You'd just be left to go through life empty and unsatisfied and unfulfilled. No, the Lord asks us to let go of ourselves so that He can give us the desires of our heart that most often we don't even recognize what the real desires of our heart are. But God knows. And He says, if you will, be willing to let go and let me, I would like to bring fulfillment to you in life. I would like to supply all of your needs according to the riches in glory, not by yourself or your will, but by Christ Jesus. And if we do that tonight, then I firmly believe that God will be able to provide for our needs, and we will be able to experience the presence of the Lord in our lives. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.